So magic is well represented at Brighton Fringe, and the quality is really up this year. But I don't know about this show, so they're going to tell me about it. I'm joined by...
I'm Steve Griffin.
And?
And I'm Nathan Jones, and together we are Griffin and Jones.
Okay, right. Good title there. So, first of all, tell me how you two came together in a professional sense.
We have been working together for 7 years now. We met through a local theatre scene in Guildford, where we were both from originally. And then we just discovered we were massive magic nerds. And we went and saw a few magic shows up at the Edinburgh Fringe and thought we should give it a go.
Yeah. And Guildford's got a fringe, hasn't it?
It does. It's quite new, quite young, but we're involved in Guildford Fringe as well. Absolutely. Yeah.
So when you first met, is your magic different? And did you then find a way of combining it?
When we first met, well, my background was in stand-up comedy, and I'd grown tired of that. It wasn't what I wanted to do. And Steve's background was in sleight of hand magic, and so that's, we just combined the two. I taught Steve how to be funny, and Steve taught me how to do magic. That's how that worked.
So you made a stand-up comedian appear.
Something like that, yeah, yeah. So, or disappear and turn into a magician, maybe, yeah, yeah, yeah.
There is something fascinating for people, even in this world of special effects and stuff, of close-up magic, isn't there?
I really think there is. I think that when you experience something right in front of your face, I think it's a very different experience to seeing it on the screen or in the cinemas, something like that, yeah.
How's your magic then developed from the first time you ever tried a trick?
Oh, dear Lord, yes. I wouldn't even like to think about how bad it was when I first started. And I think also, since we've been working together and writing together, it's really developed the way that we approach things.
And because because we've got a background in theatre as well, we know how properly structured theatre should work, you know. And it's the same as a trick. It's got to have a beginning, a middle and an end. You have to have an arc there. So that's how we try and write our stuff.
Do you create your own tricks?
Oh, very much so. Yeah, we're very keen on originality. To our mind, there's no point in being Griffin and Jones if someone else is already doing it. So, yeah, we want people to have a unique experience with us.
But I guess when I've seen magic, that's how it splits down the middle. Some people can deliver, you know, tricks I've seen before really well, but they're tricks I've seen before.
Absolutely.
And suddenly you see a magician who makes one. So without giving away secrets, of course, or even talking about a specific trick maybe, how do you make a trick?
How do you make a trick? That's
we tend to start with the question. We tend to start with the end product a little bit.
Well, the punchline.
Yeah, yeah.
A little bit.
We start with we want this thing to happen. So, for example, if we wanted to vanish a person's finger ring, which we do in the show, we started where we wanted it to end up. And where we wanted to end up was a really impossible place. But we knew that we'd be able to get there. So we just worked backward from the ideal and then worked out how to do it later, because otherwise you start compromising things.
And where did the specific skills you learned as a stand-up comedian play into this show then?
All of our stuff is really highly scripted. It's really high energy. It's very sort of punchy back and forth. Basically, when you're laughing, you're at your weakest. You're not paying any attention, which means we can get away with murder when it comes to the magic, because you just don't see it coming.
But you haven't learned to make the hecklers disappear.
No, well, to be honest with you, it's really weird. Like, people don't tend to heckle magicians as much, because when you come out there really quickly, tell loads of quick fire jokes, and then do tricks, you look like you've got too much sort of ammunition, and you don't tend to get as much heckled.
No, and the closest things we get to heckles are people just getting overexcited and wanting to get involved in the show rather than the classic heckler who's trying to spoil the show.
A lot of magicians that I've seen, you know, actually they tread a lonely path. Has this cured your loneliness?
No, absolutely not. No. I mean, yeah, this very much came from sort of the quiet, lonely childhood, sitting alone, practicing card tricks. But hey, we've got each other now, and that's almost as bad. So that's grand.
So give me a sort of hint of your rehearsal room. Is that alone in a room just with each other?
We do a lot of our writing in pubs, and then we tend to just kind of hole up in one of our houses and work through the material and develop it from there.
All of our best ideas come from when we're sat in pubs or sat in cafes. We need a bit of kind of like atmosphere around us. If we sit at home, we just end up become stagnant.
And I guess some of the best, you know, duo comedians and other performers, you have to have creative conflict. I guess around that pub table, arguing about what's going to work and what isn't.
Definitely. We don't agree on everything, but ultimately we always come down to an agreement, and I think that benefits us.
Yeah, well, we have the same base morals, so we always know, you know, I mean, we have the exact same kind of morals,
but how we get there can change. But when we argue about the work, it's perfect because it means we really still care about it so much that I'm willing to argue about it.
And how do you know if it's going to work, or do you have to wait till you try it out on a friendly audience?
You can never be 100% sure till you put it in front of an audience. I mean, this show that we're doing at the Brighton Fringe this week has got a lot of new material in it, and some of it had never been performed before this week. And I'm not going to lie, we were terrified on Monday. We didn't know what was going to happen.
And we had a reviewer in and everything right on the Monday, and we were like, this is the first time a lot of people are going to see it. But they seem to be enjoying the new stuff, so it's you sort of just have to trust in it.
If I gave you an unlimited budget, what trick would you buy?
I think I would do the same tricks, but just in different countries.
So you want flight money?
I just want a holiday at this point.
So finally, without the word amazing or any PR, what's your invitation for people to come and see your show?
We've got... Oh, no, without
using speechless, because I can't say... Yeah, you can't use amazing unless it's true. How about that? Busy Fringe, why should people come see you?
But why should people come see us? Genuinely, people should come see us because there's not really an act like us, because people tend to be either magicians or comedians, or when they're comedy magicians, they're sort of, you know, it's funny because the magic's bad. It's really strong magic and really direct comedy. So I don't think you can really find that at the Fringe apart from us. We've had a good look through and there's no one else doing it.
And also, we've got an award, we've got lots of nice reviews, so it can't be that bad, surely.
You've also got an award-worthy title, which we're going to end this...
Oh, yeah.
We are going to end this interview on. Let it hang in the
area. Great time. Like, we love a
like a magical vapor. Do you want to say what it is?
Yeah, the show is called Griffin and Jones, Trickerish All Sorts.
Thanks for talking to Fringe Review.